are listening to Into the Comics Cave with your host, comic book heartthrob, Grant Stoy.
Hello, fellow humans. I'm Grant, and we're just going right into this. With me, I have a very talented artist and writer. I would just say a general creator of comics. I have Mata Sorcier with me. Hi, Mata. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How you doing?
I am good. Spring has sprung and allergies are in full effect. So it's like the double-edged sword of everything's green and nice, but my eyes are swelling shut.
I understand that. And also it sucks because like my favorite hobby is gardening. And it's like, why am I allergic to the things that I love?
Oh no.
So it's like I'm out there every morning watering the plants. Like, I hate and love this.
Oh, that's the worst. Do you have to take like a bunch of sinus meds and all the this might put you to sleep stuff?
Luckily it hasn't gotten that bad yet. Like non-drowsy Allegra will knock me out, which is like unfortunate. But no, I mean just like generic Claritin and nasal spray has worked so far. I haven't had to, you know, delve into the heavy hitters or anything yet.
And like what kind of stuff are you gardening? Are you doing like trying to grow your own produce? Are you doing like botany with flowers and stuff?
All of it. Like I mean, like on the porch and like in the garden in the front of the house, I do like all the fancy flowers. Like I'm trying to do all of these like crazy arrangements on my porch and in the garden. And then in the back, it's like my secret food garden where like people can't see it and steal my stuff.
So, do you have problems with varmints trying to come in and get your produce?
I have problems with humans trying to get my produce.
Oh, I thought you were joking. Wait, really?
No, I live in the Bronx. Are you kidding me? Do you know what it's like? Like tomatoes here one day, gone another. Jeez.
Have you heard of a food desert?
Yeah, exactly. Like my mom used to try to grow tomatoes in the house, like in the front, and they would just really be gone. Like tomatoes, eggplants, everything. People are the worst. People are stealing our flowers. People steal our Christmas decorations. Like
okay, that's lame. I was gonna say
I have to laugh or I'll cry.
I was gonna say at least they're stealing like healthy stuff, but if they're stealing like everything else, that's not cool.
No, it's not. No, I gotta get out of here.
Heather, did you grow up in New York?
Yeah, I was actually born in New York and I've been in the same house for like 33 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a first generation immigrant. So my parents were immigrants from the small Caribbean island nation of Trinidad and Tobago. And like, they came here and then like my brother was born and I was born. And it's been interesting, like living between two cultures and kind of not feeling like you fit in.
I think comics is a wonderful place for that sort of feeling.
Then. I mean, yeah, I came to the realization like a few days ago while I was working on my comic pitch that like all of my main characters sort of have that issue where they're in a scenario where they like, they don't necessarily fit in, but like they just have to deal with it. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, write what you know.
And like, so I can't believe you've been in the same house your whole life. It feels like that's something that doesn't happen too often anymore. That's really cool.
I guess, yeah, I mean, like, you know, my family in general, we're just stubborn people, and it's like, this is our house, we're staying here, like, for better or for worse, I guess. Like, also, moving is hard, moving is scary.
And it's the worst.
It is the worst. And, like, I hate to say it, but it's like, you know, if I move to a new neighborhood, like, am I going to get chased by a lynch mob or whatnot? Because, you know, yeah, it's like, you know, people, I have friends who in different states and they're like, yeah, come and live in Missouri. And I'm like, don't know if I want.
Is that the state with the two white people in front with guns? Is that one? I don't want to.
Yeah, no,
idea.
I'll pass. It's yeah, like I love and hate the Bronx at the same time, I got to say, like. I definitely fit in here, but also I still want out.
And what was it like growing up in the Bronx?
Well, oh man. I think the most awakening thing for me about living in the Bronx is that in my teenage years, I went to a specialized school. I went to Bronx High School of Science, which is like, you know, the second smartest school. I was a total delinquent, got arrested. That's a whole other thing, but
I like how you're just breezing past these incredibly interesting facets of your life. I just went to this like second smartest school and I got arrested. But anyway.
My delinquency ties into it because I failed a lot of classes because I was a delinquent. So I ended up going to my zone high school to make up for some classes that I failed. And these kids there, they were like, oh yeah, I gotta pick up my daughter after class. And I'm like, how are you? Oh like, it's your daughter. And I'm like, oh, my daughter's 3. And I'm just like, oh my God, you're in high school. How do you have a 3-year-old daughter? Like, you know, casually talk about being in a gang. And I'm just like, holy shit. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse, sorry. But
you can fucking curse all you want.
Oh, fuck yeah, awesome. it was just that, like, holy shit, like, I'm in a terrible neighborhood moment. And it's like, it took going to my local zone high school to, like, figure that out.
So from that moment on, were you, like, a new person?
Nah, I was still a shitbag.
You know what? Like,
it kind of made me feel better about my own delinquency because I was just like, all right, well, at least I'm not that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great way to look at things. So what was that, like, you are a self-taught artist.
Yeah.
Were you an artsy kid?
I was one of those kids that, like, I have been drawing since I could pick up a pencil and, like, trying to make stuff up since, like, I could form coherent words. But, like, the odds were kind of against me because it's, like, anytime I wanted to go to an art school, I wasn't allowed, which is how I ended up being a delinquent at Bronx Science.
Everything just keeps coming full circle.
It's my origin story. But, like, I got into LaGuardia, which was, like, the top high school for art. But then, you know, my parents were like, no, you're not going to be an artist. Like, you know, there's no money in art. So it was just like, oh, womp womp. I guess I go to a school I hate. But yeah, so teaching yourself is interesting. Because I legit, like, taught myself to draw just by copying, like, you know, anything that was there, like Ninja Turtles, like, you know, Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon and stuff later on. Just right. Like, it definitely takes a lot longer than, like, traditional schooling. But the cool... Oh, sorry.
What were you saying? You're the one who's more important here.
But yeah, the cool thing about it is that you kind of learn to do things in ways that, like, other people haven't thought about doing, like, in terms of just, like finding little shortcuts that work, I guess, that, yeah. Like, people aren't traditionally taught. Like, I have a set way of coloring things, and I've been wanting to make a tutorial on, like, how to color, like, a very lazy person and still have it look good.
Oh my gosh, do you know how many people would, like, donate to get that lesson?
Yeah, I gotta get on that. I've been saying that for years, so.
And but, I'm curious about what kind of shortcuts that you developed.
Like the coloring one, or even just, like, oh man, what else is there? Now, of course, when you ask me this, my mind goes completely blank.
Of course.
I guess just, like, with drawing programs and stuff, there are certain things you can do, like, involving layers and, like, stuff like that, that just saves time or just makes sense. Like, having certain things, like, on temporary layers, and it's a technical weirdness that's probably easier if I could get to show it.
This is where, unfortunately, we are not a visual medium, which stinks.
Yeah. Hey, guys, keep an eye out for my tutorials. They'll happen at some point, I guess.
Well, this is a great opportunity because this will be running in the 30th, and you could have it up by then.
I could, but I'm also running, like, a whole ass Kickstarter, and that's...
Oh, those are a piece of cake.
Oh yeah, no
stresses about those.
No, not at all. No stress here.
So you mentioned digital stuff. When did you start doing digital?
I started digital probably, like, in my late teens when I, like, saved up money to buy my drawing tablet and stuff. But I didn't really get into, like, fully digital until probably, like, 2015, 2016 or so, when I started working on Sacrimony as a webcomic. Okay. Like, before that, I was actually mostly, like, traditional. I did, like, marker stuff and, like, watercolor stuff. And I still like that a lot better than digital art because there's just, like, you're not limited to, like, what a program is telling you to do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, if you want a certain effect, you can just like find an easier way to make it than like, oh, well, you know, I gotta find the right brush and then use the right transparency and layers and whatever. Like, it's just a hassle.
We've only been talking for like 10 minutes, but just the fact that there's this hardcore DIY-ness to your art style. It's like, if you don't know how to do something, you're gonna figure it out.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's like the epitome of like, fuck around and find out.
Yeah, like when you were initially fucking around, did you use any like how to draw books, or were you just like looking at something on the internet or looking at your TV and just essentially kind of figuring out how to do the shape without tracing?
I just looked at stuff and tried to figure it out, because honestly, the how to draw books just like couldn't register in my brain, where they're like, oh, draw a circle, then draw like a line through the circle, then draw another line through the circle, then like draw a different line. Here's where you place this. Here's where you place that. So I guess that's where also my like weird mental shortcuts come in, that like I don't have to do that to the extent that like other people say. Like, hanging out with artist friends, like a lot of people are just like, you draw really fast. And I'm just like, I do. Like, it wasn't something that I was conscious of until like other people are just like, yeah, I'm still on the head and shoulders and you've got like an entire outfit going. I'm just like, oh, I didn't realize. Like, I thought it was just like super common that people drew fast, but I guess not.
Would you say that you have a really good line economy then, comparatively to all these other folks?
Yeah, probably. I definitely do less like underlying like sketch work and whatnot to get like what I need to get done.
That's so really cool though, because I bet at conventions you can just be like, just what do you want? Do it real quick. Here you go. What do you want? Do it real quick.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like when I used to take commissions at conventions. Why couldn't I say that? Commissions at conventions.
That's kind like, of a you know, twister.
It is. Like, people would be like, oh, you know, can you do this portrait, whatever, I'll be back in 2 hours. I'm like, no, you know what, I'll just like, you know, give me your number, I'll text you in like 30 minutes and we'll call it a day.
Go get me a hot dog, and by the time you come back, I'll be done.
Yeah, right. That would be awesome. I should have done commissions for hot dogs. I think I did a commission for a box of Pocky one time. It was like a really cheap, like quick commission.
Was it chocolate or strawberry?
It was chocolate.
Okay.
It was back in the day when we had like really limited options. This had to have been like, oh man, like 15 years ago, like the Pocky market wasn't what it is now.
The booming Pocky market.
The booming Pocky market, like banana, you got like Almond Crush now, you got like, if you can dream it, it exists.
I think you should sell that to Pocky.
You know this slogan? Yeah, right? They should pay me for this. Like, I'm endorsing
say,
their product.
A, do you need a slogan? B, do you need a new like labeling? A branding, if you will.
That's something to look into after the Kickstarter.
And so what kind of like pieces of art were you into growing up? You said turtles and Sailor Moon.
Yeah, mostly. Like, I was a stubborn kid, which was kind of to my detriment. So like, since I was like 14, I was like, I'm gonna draw anime. And that kind of bit me in the ass later when it was like, my fundamentals weren't that great, so, like, I had to play catch-up on that in terms of just, like, basic anatomy things. There were lots of mistakes. The art teacher at Bronx Science used to say, like, my people had no bones because, like, I didn't know how to draw joints properly. Well, you know, like, there's very specific ways that the elbows are and, like, wrist bones and stuff, and okay. I didn't have that going, and that pissed me off, so I was like, all right, well, I gotta get good at bones now.
How does one get good at bones?
Figure drawing. Just like being more conscious of like looking at what you're looking at and really taking it in and seeing how things work.
It seem so easy.
Oh no, it's not. Absolutely. Like in all of my director's commentaries that I've ever said for like my sacrimony books, like the first thing I always say is just like, drawing is hard, you guys. It's so hard. There's so much that can go wrong. And I still stand by that.
Oh, absolutely. Anyone who says drawing is easy is a liar.
Yes.
Did you say that's a fair statement?
Anyone who says drawing is easy probably hasn't drawn. Like, even people who have attempted to draw are just like, it's hard, guys.
are those people who are like, I can't even draw stick figures. It's so hard.
Oh, my favorite thing is when people are like, I can't even draw a circle. And I'm like, neither can I. That's what templates are for.
Also, whose head is a total circle? There's no, like, don't worry about that.
Yeah, right? They're more like weird potato shapes anyway, right?
And how did you start your whole storytelling venture?
Oh, man. The storytelling venture, like, Sacrimony itself, I've been thinking of since I was probably, like, 12 years old.
Oh, gosh.
It was a lot different back then because, of course, like, a 12-year-old came up with it. And I was like, I'm going to make, like, a story about the devil that lives in hell. And I kind of wish I held on to those drawings. Like, they weren't bad, but, like, they were cute. They were, like, you know, 12-year-old appropriate. And it's just, like my fascination has always been, like, people watching and, like, figuring out what makes people tick. So that's what Sacrimony is about. It's not, like, we have to band together and defeat the bad guy. It's more of, like, a long-form drama where it's just, like, the real bad guy is life. Yeah. And they have to, like, you know, get through these obstacles known as life. And that's always the thing that's, like, fascinated me about storytelling, even when I was, like, 12 years old. Like, I had a more interesting time thinking of, like, all right, this is the character, this is, like, their family dynamics, these are, like, you know, friends or whatever, here's how they interact with each other, like, they don't always agree with each other, and that just seemed more interesting than just, like, yay, guys, we saved the day.
Team high five at the end.
Yeah, right? Like, no, not really. Like, it's definitely a sad story, but there's lots of, you know, little bits of humor and stuff to keep you going so that it's not just a total, like, oh my God, everything is terrible fest.
If you started at 12, I'm curious, do you have any, like, you don't have drawings, but do you have original notes or anything like that? Did you keep a journal?
No, you remember those, like, little, like, black and white composition books that you could get from, like, CVS? Like, I 100%. Had so many of them full of, like, story notes and, like, I used to, like, draw in them and write, like, story notes. But I think also just, like, as things changed, I was just like, I don't need these anymore. And also, they're, like, I live in a small place in the Bronx. There's only so much stuff I could keep, so.
You know what? That's a good point.
I live in, like, practically a shopping cart. Like, come on, guys. Sorry.
I almost left water on my nose.
Oh, my God. You know, usually people do that to me, so now I know how everyone else feels when they make me get drink up my nose.
Well, you know, I was going to compliment the wheels on your cart and the handle behind you. It's a very good cart.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's a little rusty, and one of the wheels are a little janky, but it's okay. Gets the job done.
The other three compensate. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the other wheels are for.
Hello there. My name is Don Cardenas, and I'm here to invite you to check out my podcast, the 2021 Granty Award-winning Comics Coffee Medal, where I interview creatives in, around, and about the worlds of, you guessed it, comics, coffee, and metal. I've already had such amazing guests on my show, including, but not limited to, Liana Kangas, Mike Norton, John O'Diener, Michael Conrad, Sophie Campbell, Guitar Max Carlisle, Andrew Baina, and of course, the Word Bros themselves, Bob and Kevin. Comics Coffee Metal is available on all the major podcast services, and you can find it directly at comicscoffeemetal.com. I hope to see you there, and now I return you to Into the Comics Cave with the amazing, awesome, talented, tall, handsome, what else did I say? Definitely over 6 feet tall, smells good like lavender and motorcycle grease. Is that right? Motorcycle grease? Alright. Grant Stoy. There, I said it. Get my money now?
Now, Mara, I'm kind of obsessed with this question because it leads to very entertaining answers.
Oh, oh dear.
So let's say you go to the Forbidden Restaurant. At this restaurant, you can order anything in the world, but no one will ever know about it. Just the waiter and the cook that prepares the meal.
Human meat.
I'm so thankful you didn't even wait for any more. You just went right into it.
Yeah, no, I didn't need anything else. As soon as you said that, like, the cook will prepare it, and nobody will ever know, like, human meat. Gotta know. I gotta know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, how do you want it, though? Like, do you want, because this is how I imagine things. Like when you cut the cow, it has the shape of like the T-bone thing. But when you cut a person like on a hunk of their thigh, would that also look like a T-bone? Would you want that part? Would you want human nuggets?
You know what it is? Like, are you familiar with hanger steak?
Yes.
I would, whatever cut would be like the perfect piece of hanger steak. And like, have you ever been to like those like Korean or Japanese barbecue places where there's like an open grill at the table, mm-hmm. and you kind of, you cook your own meat there, and then you've got like the different sauces to dip it to. It's, you know, it's not like I've been thinking about this before. I promise you, like I didn't plan this or anything, but yeah. So I would cook it on, you know, one of those nice open grills at mm-hmm. the table, and, you know, dip it in my little sauce and see which sauce works best. Usually it's the spiciest for me because that's what I do. But yeah.
Wow, this is a complete non sequitur. Well, it's kind of a sequitur. Like with your background in Trinidad and Tobago, like, do you like spicy food like more than most folks?
Yes, I have an inhuman tolerance for spiciness. Like, I'm the kind of person that chewed like ghost pepper gum for fun, which is like Big Red on steroids, basically.
Right. Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
What kind of sauces would you be using for your human meat hanger steak?
You know, I gotta give a shout out to the old country and go with the old, like, you know, Trinidad scorpion pepper sauce.
Oh my gosh. Okay. From me to you, how in the world do you taste anything beyond, like, the heat of these sauces?
I feel like I've burned off a lot of my taste buds, which is why I have to keep going spicier and spicier with the sauce. Like, I used to be a total wuss when I was a kid, and now all of a sudden, like, in my old age, I'm just like, ah, you call this spicy? Like, my bestie had went to Florida, and she picked up a container of, like, ghost pepper salsa and brought it back for me, because she's like, oh, here, I guess you'd like it. And, you know, the label says, like, very hot, and I'm just like, I went through, like, half a bottle a day, and I was just like, this isn't that hot.
This is false advertising.
Yeah, but I feel like someone else who still had taste buds would be like, oh my god, this is the worst. Why would anyone make this?
That's so wild. So do you think you could taste the human meat flavor beyond the ghost pepper salsa?
I think so, because I would definitely like to try it without the sauce, and like, mm-hmm. I want to see definitely like what sauce would complement the human meat.
Absolutely.
Not so much as like drown out the taste, but it's like, all right, well, you know, this is like a nice piece of hanger steak. You get like a little sweet and spicy sauce on there, and like, it's good to go.
Would you want to know the name of the person?
I feel like there was like a random tangent, but I feel like there was some sort of like supermarket or something that like named their poultry. And I feel like, I guess it would be the same thing. Like, oh yeah, I'm just having a bob.
Ooh, Daryl is mighty tasty today.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess. I don't think it would bother me as long as nobody else knew.
Oh yeah, like...
I mean, although I feel like I probably wouldn't be able to shut up about it. Like, oh man, I ate bob yesterday.
What is part of the arrangement of the Impossible Restaurant is that you can't tell anyone.
Okay. I can keep a secret. I can. I promise.
Especially because you're going to have Bob Hanger.
Bob Hanger, yeah. Get me a piece of that Bob.
Now, what would happen if you finally tasted it after all this buildup and it tastes like wet socks?
I'd be like, bro, this is overhyped. I don't know why people literally kill for this.
What's up, cannibals? Why are you doing this?
Guys, y'all have no taste.
And then you just pour the rest of the sauce on it because you're already there and you're hungry.
Yeah, at that point. Yeah, I mean, I've already committed to it. I might as well see it through till the end, right?
Oh, I love the Impossible Restaurant. And honestly, I'm glad someone finally said it because everyone...
Are you fucking kidding me? Nobody has ever said human meat.
Nope. Everyone's dancing around. They're like, oh, maybe I want this like endangered species. It's like, that's not fun.
Like a bald eagle? Come on, guys. Think bigger than that.
Or like, someone has tried that already, and they'll tell you about it. It's probably some rich white guy, and if you ask him, like, have you eaten anything weird, he'll be like, I will.
Yeah. I eat a bald eagle every month. What are you talking about?
Yeah. No one's gonna cop to human meat.
Wow. I guess I truly have no shame.
No. Like,
talked about my arrest. I talked about eating human meat. Like, oh, man. I'm on a roll tonight, aren't I?
This is just pure unbridled bold. You're very bold.
Fortune favors the bold, I guess, as the saying goes. I don't know.
No, that's good. And with that, we're going to pop into, these are five questions we ask every guest.
Watch me have a harder time with these than the human meat.
That was like, you were so excited to say human meat. I could see it in your eyes. They lit up.
I tried to let you finish the question. I really did.
Human meat with ghost pepper sauce. It's good. Now that's what I'm
doing. Oh, honey ghost pepper sauce.
I'm checking to make sure my kids are asleep. How do you even fucking taste the honey through any ghost pepper sauce?
It works. I've actually been gifted a bottle of ghost pepper honey because my friends know me very much, and it was delicious. I put it on pork chops, but I would also put it on people, gotta say.
Have you ever tried hot honey on pizza?
No.
Oh my, it's so good. It's so, so good.
I didn't know that was an option.
It is very much an option. And you should absolutely try it. And it doesn't matter what kind of pizza. Something about like the cheese and the sauce and the bread and meat or veggie or whatever. It just complements it way more than one would think.
I will try that. It sounds delicious.
Now you're gonna try ghost pepper honey. So it's not even going to be remotely the same.
I mean, it's not always my default. I try other spicy things. Or less spicy or whatever. It depends on my mood. It's not like, you know, 2 million Scovilles or nothing. Like, there's in-betweens.
Have you ever seen the show Hot Ones, the interview
yes.
show?
I've okay. bought a few sauces from the show. I've never been able to buy the last dab because it's never been in stock, but I've gotten up there. I think my favorite one was the chocolate plague one, the one that has, like, you know, a Grim Reaper on the bottle.
Right.
That was like it was one of the ones that was almost like 700,000 Scovilles or something, but it was delicious.
Was it one of the ones, my benchmark on that show is always the bomb. Like, you can always tell when someone's going to break when they get to that one.
It's after the bomb.
Really?
Yeah, it was like the ninth sauce on one of the seasons, like just before the last dab.
Oh, that's hardcore.
I've never tried the bomb just because I'm like, people said that it just tastes nasty, and like, I don't want nasty. I'm not wasting my money on nasty.
And it's such a like a shitty thing for a sauce maker to do, to be like, this doesn't taste good, but it's going to hurt you.
But you know what? The funny thing is, I always see it sold out everywhere because like people are like, oh, I got to see how nasty this is, I guess. So like, good marketing?
I guess.
I don't know.
There's a bunch of weirdos from school. They're like, oh my gosh, this milk went bad. Smell this.
Why? I know what bad milk smells like.
That was a really good tangent, by the way.
Awesome.
So, five questions.
Five questions, yes.
Number one, and I'm always curious about writer-artists, or do you prefer artist-writer?
I don't think it matters. I don't know. I guess I drew before I was officially a writer, and I do still have a hard time considering myself being a writer. Because I'm not like a writer in the traditional sense where I like sit down and do a script. I kind of just like, I do the scripts like on the comic page as I'm working, instead of just like doing all the proper syntax, like, all right, special effects, this is how the panel is set up or whatever. I do all the dialogue first, and then it's just like I figure out how to draw around that. So
I'm very thrilled that you use special effects as an example, because number one is, what is your favorite sequential art sound effect?
I don't like them. I don't actually, I stopped using them because like it didn't really fit in with my art style.
Really?
Because I have more of like a painted looking, like, you know, cinematic art style. And then when you throw in these like random special effects, it just looks like really, really out of place. Like someone kind of just slapped like a cartoon effect over like something much more serious than something cartoony. So I stopped using sound effects, and a lot of people who've been reading my comic were like, yeah, that's actually a good decision. You don't need sound effects.
That's really cool.
So, like, a sound effect to use, I have no idea. Like, sound effect in general, I think, like, splorch is really funny. I don't know if it's even...
good.
Yeah, it's like her splorch. You know? Good effect. It's definitely, like, good onomatopoeia there.
Unfortunately true. So number two is, what is something about sequential art that you love?
That is, you know what? Just the idea of making something out of literally nothing. Like, you have this blank page and then, you know, like 7 to 14 hours later, there's like, there's something on there and you're like, you're cursing and you're like, oh man, this didn't come out this way. And like, you know, you had your struggles, but you finally beat it. And then it's like Sisyphus rolling that boulder up the hill, because then you're just like, oh, well, here's another page I got to do. But yeah, I guess just the ability to just conjure up images out of nowhere and place them in a way that like makes sense and tell a story is like super fucking powerful.
Yeah. Do you ever get intimidated by the blank page?
Yes. All the goddamn time. Oh. Not gonna lie. It's still daunting, because then you're like, all right, there's words there, and now I have to like figure out like what to do with these words and like how to make it work. And like, it's not like a paralyzing sort of daunting. It's just like, oh man, how am I gonna do it this time? You know, like, huh. Challenge accepted, but it's also still kind of scary. Like, anytime someone asks me how I get through, like, even comic making, marketing, kickstarting stuff, it's like, you know how, like, the Incredible Hulk is like, you want to know my secret? I'm always angry. Uh-huh. My secret is I'm always fucking terrified, but I just do it anyway.
That's really encouraging in a way. Like, in a weird sort of way, just be like, yeah.
I mean, I hope so, actually, because there are a lot of people who are just like, oh, I can't do this. I don't know if I have it in me. I'm scared. And it's like, I know how that feels, but also, like, if you want this thing to happen, like, what's more important? Like, you know, not being, like, you know, staying in a comfort zone or actually, like, trying to get this thing out there. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, you have to decide, like, what's more important.
Oh, right on. Especially for people, like, aspiring creators who are just trying to get into it. Like, it's really encouraging.
Yeah, thank you.
And plus, you can't order the human hanger steak unless you order the human hanger steak.
Yeah, exactly. Just go for it. Just do the thing, man. Even if it's like not the best thing you've ever done, you can always get to do it over and just like try again. Which is actually what I did with Sacrimony. Was like, when I started it as a webcomic, it was really like not that great. Because I was actually out of practice drawing for a while, because I went through like a lot of shit for like a lot of years that like left me not wanting to create. So it was like, when I picked it up in 2016, I was like, I was so out of practice. I didn't know, like, you know, proper pacing for story writing. I was like using drawing tools that I wasn't entirely familiar with anymore. And it was just like, it wasn't that great. And like, I tried kickstarting a printed book back then and got like a super lukewarm reception. It was just like, you know, supportive friends who were like, yeah, we believe in you. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. But there's like, you know, no like actual fans. It was just like people, right, buying the book just like as charity, which it's a nice gesture, but it also kind of leaves you feeling hollow, because it's like, all right, but they're never going to read it. Mm-hmm. So like, it went on like that for a while until 2020, when like the pandemic hit and stuff. And I was just like, I got to do something with this story, because like, I can't like market it and sell it as it is. It's not like, you know, up to professional quality. So let me like, you know, take the year and try to do it over, because I had shit else to do because of the lockdown anyway.
Yeah, right.
So like, that's when I did a lot of practice with like coloring and stuff. And just like, I learned to make it better. Like, I completely rewrote it. It's not even just like, oh, I redrew things. Like, I rewrote it. I rearranged like certain segments of the story.
Oh, wow.
And like, I made it fit together better. And like, it's so solid now. I love it. And like, I'll never redo it ever again. But like, just redoing, like, you know, starting over was a huge, just like, it was a bold move. It was a crazy move. People looked at me like I was insane, but it had to be done, because it's like, first impressions matter. And if like the first chapter was just like, you know, it kind of looked like a 13-year-old drew it or whatever, like it wasn't going to go anywhere. And you can't like necessarily tell people like, no, don't worry, the art gets better, the writing gets better. Like, you just have to get them in right away.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it was super validating to do it over. And then, you know, in 2021, like my first Kickstarter, there was like almost 100 backers just for the first issue, and I was like, somehow raised almost $3,000, which you know, back in the day when I was trying to kickstart the old books, it was just like, oh, well, I got like 22 backers and raised like, you know, like 1,200, and it was super demoralizing. And now it's just like, I know I made the right decision, even though it was terrifying and crazy. Like, it paid off.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
And now that we're on this high note, what's the thing you hate about sequential art, or something about it that you dislike?
I think lettering is probably my least favorite part.
Fair enough.
Which is, it's funny because, like, I made my own fonts. I made so many fonts for this comic.
Did you really?
Yeah, I made up, like, you know, the regular font that I use, and I also made, like, certain language fonts, which are just, like, all of these weird little symbols that I use to, like, you know, identify other languages. And it's yeah. funny to use those, because then it's like you'll have characters talking in a different language and like the reader can't understand and the other characters can't understand. And it's just like you kind of like you get the confusion of the characters in the story because you're just looking at these people saying this like nonsensical looking thing, and like you understand the confusion. But yeah, I think I've made at least like probably 7 different fonts already for the story.
Oh, that's wild.
For like the different languages. Oh, and I have fonts for like the translated version of languages. If like, you know, something actually needs to be understood by the reader, there's like the translated version. But I still hate lettering.
Yeah, that's that's like hearing about someone who's like, yeah, I cut down the trees, I make the wood, I put together these beautiful pieces of furniture, but man, I hate carpentry. Just hate it.
Yeah, it's the process itself is always just like, I can't describe it. I can't describe my depth of dislike for lettering. It's it's one of those things where it's simultaneously challenging, but somehow still not challenging enough.
Okay.
It doesn't hit the right level of like, all right, this keeps me interested, but it still has to be done.
So it's become more of a chore than anything else.
Yeah, and you know what? Still, I'm like, no, I still want to do my own lettering, even though I hate it. Like, it doesn't take that long, but it's just like, oh, this is the most inconvenient 10 minutes of my life. You know?
So, what are we on? Number 4.
3. Wait, is it 4 or 3?
Yeah, it was sound effect. What do you like?
Yeah.
What do you dislike?
Okay.
Number 4. You ready?
Okay, yes, I'm
ready. Real tough.
Okay.
What's your favorite swear word that's not a swear word?
Crap dabbit.
Use that in a sentence, please.
Oh, crap dabbit, I lost my shoe. I don't even know if that's a real not swear word, but I use it sometimes.
Oh, yeah. No, if it's something that little kids would point and be like, oh, I would say that's a swear word. Crap dabbit, I feel like just really slips under the fence in that regard.
Excellent.
And now I got some bad news for you.
Oh no.
So Mata, you were harvesting these tomato plants. And the tomatoes were just gorgeous. They're just ripe, beautiful coloring. You can just tell that like one bite out of these would just be the tippy tops. Unfortunately, you hear a marathon of gang runners coming down your block, and you're like, I have to do something with these tomatoes. So instead of hiding them, your animal instincts takes over, and you try to eat them all, but you choke and you die.
Ah.
It's so sad.
Oh, I went out like a bitch, jeez.
But? You transcend to what the place we conceive to be heaven. And when you get there, you see this surly little man hunched over a drafting board, smoking a cigar, and like his entire forehead is just made up of these giant, massive black eyebrows. And it's actually Jacob Kurtzberg, a.k.a. Jack Kirby, the father of modern American comics. What do you hope he says to you?
Hey, what's up? I think that'd be good enough. Like, you know, he just kind of acknowledges me and he's like, oh, hey, what's up? How's it going? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm good. How you doing? You know?
Yeah, just nothing profound. Just a general.
Yeah, I mean, he's busy. I don't want to like take up too much of his time and stuff. Like he's got stuff to do. He's clearly working. Like, yeah, I think that's it, really. Is that weird?
So this question has garnered a large spectrum of answers, from just like kind of inappropriate to almost like self-aggrandizing. I can't speak. I only write.
I understand.
And yours is like talking right there in the middle. And it's so profound. Yeah. Just a general acknowledgement.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's like my MO. Like, it probably sounds weird, but like, I don't care about like, you know, leaving a lasting legacy behind or like creating a timeless classic. Like, I just want to enjoy stuff in the moment. And, you know, in the moment, if he says like, hey, sup, I'd be like, sup, you know?
Sup with you, Jack?
Yeah, like, Jack, what's up? Like, that's all I need. Like, I just need to enjoy the moment. And like, you know, it's the same thing with creating. Like, I just want to enjoy what I'm doing in the moment. I don't want like my shit to sell for like millions of dollars when I'm dead. Like, that's messed up.
Oh no, that would be the worst. Can you imagine?
Like, how I gave my friends like very specific instructions. Like, if I died like before them or whatever, just have them just burn everything so nobody can sell anything for millions of dollars. Like, that's it. It's done.
Because that's what the future of IP is going to be anyway. It's just grave robbing for ideas.
Isn't it already like?
Yeah.
Like, I hate to say it, but there's like so many like projects on Kickstarter that's just like, oh, here's my Lovecraft thing, here's my other Lovecraft thing, here's Cthulhu, here's other Cthulhu. Just like, guys, there's other things out there.
There's Please. Other things that don't refer to other things.
Yeah, and there's other things that weren't made by like a miserable racist sack of shit that you can capitalize off of. Although there are some people, I gotta say, that they're like, yeah, I made this out of spite for Lovecraft. Like, there's nothing he can do about it, and I'm using his property. And I'm like, okay, I can kind of get behind that.
Small applause. There's a golf clap for you.
Yeah, right? Like, through spite, all things are powerful. I get it.
Amato, that was lovely. And thank you so much for joining me. Where can folks find you on the socials?
Oh, on the social, I am Mata Sorcier, which is MattaSorcier, at like Twitter and Instagram. Also, I've got a Kickstarter running for Sacrimonies number 1 through 4. So, you know, like it's book 4, but if you're a new reader or whatever, you can totally catch up. But like, all of the books are available, and it's at sacrimony.com/Kickstarter. That's Sacrimony. .com/Kickstarter, because I made a fancy URL for that. And yeah, I mean, like, check out the comic if you like long form dramas about like dysfunctional families and stuff, like kind of like Saga, but like not in space. And if the parents really fucking hated each other, like, you know, money. I highly recommend it, but it's not like I'm biased or anything.
It's not even. This is just something you do.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks so much for taking the time to interview me. This was a lot of fun.
This has been a Comic Book Yeti production. You can find new episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and anywhere podcasts stream. For more information on the Comic Book Yeti, please visit comicbookyeti.com. And for more of Grant, visit grantstoy.com. Or on Twitter @GrantAndStuff.